obtain additional copies, receive a free catalog of AA and Al-Anon talks, or to find out about our tape and CD of the month club, call Encore Audio Archives at 1-800-878-1308 or visit our website at www.12steptapes.com.
Good evening. I'm Tish. I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. And I thank Denise for asking me. And I love Al-Anon. It's really become my life, a huge part of my life, and it's changed my life dramatically. When after Denise asked me to speak, I was at my daughter's house, and I went to the library with my granddaughter, and they taught her how to make a storyboard, and you read a story, and you make a square and divide it up into six things, and you tell your story in sequence. And I thought that was cool, so I called her last week, and I said, Ava, can you tell me how to make that storyboard? Oh, sure, Grammy. She said, are you going to do it on the tortoise and the hare? And I said, well, I'm not sure, but it'll be kind of like that one. And so she took me through. She read the story, and she took me through the sequence to make sure I got it just right. And she told me to start with Once Upon a Time. So I'm going to start with Once Upon a Time. And if you guys ever meet Ava, tell her I told you the story of the rabbit and the hare. Yeah. So I was raised in an alcoholic family. I was the youngest of seven kids. Both my parents were alcoholic. And so my topic tonight is trust. And as I don't know why I picked trust, but I did. But as I reminisce about my past and my childhood, I realized that I never really did trust. I didn't ever have the opportunity to trust. You know, my parents were not available. They were busy doing their deal, and my mom was 40 when she had me, and she'd had it. You know, she was over having kids, I think. And I even tell the story, my dad took her to the hospital to have me on a bucket of nails. He was a roofing contractor, and she had to sit on this bucket of nails. And then they kept her a week, and then my dad was too drunk to pick me up. So my brother-in-law picked me up, and my mom named me Joy. And my brother-in-law said, I don't like that name, Joy. Let's call her Tish. So I couldn't even trust what my name was from the day I was born. But anyway, my real name is Joy. So it was really a crazy childhood, and I couldn't trust anybody. I couldn't trust that there would be dinner on the table. I couldn't trust that my mother would show up. And, you know, I was just kind of, I think we call ourselves survivors. We just go through life, and we make the best of the circumstances. Another piece of that is my family was huge, and they were very loving. We had lots of company. We had lots of parties, lots of laughter, a lot of good times that I remember, and funny times. And so it wasn't all bad. It was dysfunctional, but it wasn't all bad. Then when I was 14, I met my husband. I was 14, he was 18, and we ended up getting married 5 years later. And he had been an addict and an alcoholic, and he used heroin before I met him about a half a dozen times, and then 40 years later, he was diagnosed, and he died from Hep C about 10 years ago. So that's another story. But so I was married for almost 40 years, and I've been a widow for almost 10 now. And so we were married and had these four kids, and I tried to keep it all together, and the kids were doing their deal, and I got busy organizing everybody's life and planning their future and running around and plugging up all the holes. And when there wasn't enough money, I would run and get another job. And that was just my life. And I had my hand in four different schools that my kids were going to. And I was, you know, trying to be the very best and be there for everybody for all things at all times. And I really prided myself on that. You know, I thought I was a good wife and I was a good mother. As the years passed, when my children got older, I really could see this disease of alcoholism in my children. And there was never any alcohol in my home. My husband had had a spiritual awakening. He quit drinking after we were married for 10 years, and he never drank again. So we never had any alcohol in our home. But I learned that this is a powerful, cunning, baffling disease, and it creeps up and it creeps in. And that's what I could see in my family. I could see it in my husband. I could see it in my children. And the harder I tried to fix it and make it right, the worse it got. It got so chaotic that I could not keep tabs on it anymore. And, you know, I fought hard to keep it together and to let everybody be happy. And we had a lot of good times, but I just never could trust that they were going to do the right thing. I wanted them to do the damn right thing, and I could tell them how to do it, you know. But they just got older, and they were not going to listen to me. And I struggled, and I struggled, and I went to Al-Anon, and I just, I don't know, I didn't stay. I didn't really get it, and I think most of us that come in think that we don't know what we think. And I didn't know what I thought, but I didn't think that was the place for me, and I left. So I kept manipulating and raising my family and my husband, and we went through some hard times. We went through a bankruptcy, and I had three kids in college, and it was really a lot of pressure. And, you know, I just lost myself. I came to the end of Tish. I couldn't do anymore. And I realized that one day that I had done all I could do. And I was sick of who I became. I really became a really ugly person. And I couldn't trust my husband. I couldn't trust my kids. I didn't know where. I was just at wit's ends. You lose yourself in this disease. And I always say, you don't even know what kind of ice cream you like anymore. You don't even know what you're supposed to be doing. You're just void. And I think most of us have been very kind and loving and nurturing, and we give of ourselves. And I gave of myself, I thought, you know, 100%. And I did it all in love. That's what I wanted to do. I was just exasperated, and I looked at myself in the mirror, and I just thought, who are you? You know, I no longer laughed. I had no personality. I was just like a walking zombie. That's how I felt. And I called my mom, and you just can't even think about yourself, what to do. You know, and I had a higher power. I grew up with a higher power, so religion wasn't new to me, and it wasn't a disappointment to me at all. But I was lost in this disease. And so my life, I was just out of control. And so one day I was home by myself, and I called my mother. She had 40 years sobriety by this time. And I said, Mom, what do I do? And she said, well, honey, do you have a place to go? And I said, yeah. And she said, well, go. And I said, well, I don't know if that's the right thing. I don't know if that's what God wants me to do. And she said, well, you'll never know if you don't go. She said, you can always come back. So anyway, I left, and nobody was home. There were no circumstances. There was no big blowout. I was just done. I was at my bottom. I couldn't do another thing anymore to help my situation. I'd given it my best, and I took a laundry basket that had some shorts and tennis shoes and a toothbrush, and I was out the door. I could not stay there another minute. You know, it was just unacceptable behavior and unacceptable circumstances for me. And I'm not talking about running away. I used to run away on the weekends all the time, you know, not all the time, but, you know, he'd come home on Friday night and I'd say, I'm going to Thrifty's, and I'd go to L.A. and come back Sunday night. And my kids would say, Mom, did you bring something from Thrifty's? You know? so I would run sometimes when I had the chance. Loved to run. But this time I took my laundry basket and I was gone. And I said, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. I had no means. I was, had a part-time job and a crap car. And, I just had to take care of me. And I ended up, my friend was so worried about me that she asked me to go to her psychologist. And Dave always loves to hear me say this. And I went to this strange psychologist and she said, oh my God, Tish, she said, are you suicidal? And I said, no, I'm homicidal. I wanted to kill them all. I wanted to kill. I wasn't going to hurt little old me.
To obtain additional copies, receive a free catalog of AA and Al-Anon talks, or to find out about our tape and CD of the month club, call Encore Audio Archives at 1-800-878-1308 or visit our website at www.12steptapes.com.
So, I guess at that point I really trusted my gut. I trusted myself. And I trusted that my higher power was going to work things out for me. I didn't know how, I didn't know when, but I know I had to leave that situation that was not working for me. And that kind of coincides with this third step. It says we made a decision to turn our life and will over to the care of God as we understand Him. And I think that's was really relevant for me because I was done with me, and I was looking for some peace and some serenity and some direction. And what I know now, and so I did start going to Al-Anon. I didn't really get it, but I just kept going. I knew I belonged in that seat. I knew that seat was for me, and people love me right where I was at. I bawled, I cried like a baby. I ran out when the meeting was over. I didn't want anybody to talk to me or look at me, and don't dare call me. I never put my number on a phone list. But I listened and I kept coming back. I knew that I believe I belonged there, that I knew. And I just continued to trust God. I it seems like all of us, not just me, but people are going to let you down. We're all made of the same old dirt, and we let each other down. Our friends, our relatives, our parents, our whoever, we all have shortcomings. And I think that's what I had learned, is that I had to trust my higher power. The people in my life had let me down. And I regained some peace and strength of my higher power when I left, and I stayed with a friend, and I took my books and I read my books and I journaled and just continued to look for some guidance. I didn't know where I was going to go. I didn't know where I belonged, but I was finding some peace in my life. We can read all this stuff. We can read literature all day long. But at some point, for me, I wanted that knowledge. I had this head knowledge. I wanted it, and it began to drop down into my heart. And there's a big difference there. You can have it in your head, but when it drops down into your heart, then you can really begin to make some changes in your life. And I got more clarity about what was happening in my life, and I wanted to blame them and say they sucked the life out of me, but today I can say I let them do that to me, because I had no boundaries. I didn't know I had choices. These are all the things I began to learn in Al-Anon when I continued to listen and read the literature, is that I could live differently. I could make different decisions. I could make different choices. I could say no I can say no. Wow, what a thought. I can say no. I never really thought that that was possible for me. And I see that my higher power, he has a natural order for things that are going to take, how our life is going to unfold. He has a plan for us. He had a plan for Tish. I didn't know what it was at the time, but all I know is that I trusted him because I had no answers. And I wasn't going to let anybody else plot my life out for me because this was my life. It was the only life that I had. And I wanted to know what God's will was for me and for my life. I wanted to know that. And from Al-Anon, I believe that a process came where I became willing. I became willing to make changes. I was teachable. And that's important. Some people are not teachable. They think they know it all. But I was ready. I was so sick of me. I said, just let me have it. I want to know it. I want to learn it. I want to live it. I want to live this program. I want to apply these principles to my life because I want peace and serenity and hope and love. I want everything, all the promises that Al-Anon promises us. And I know today I can trust the process. My trust comes in my higher power. I know the process is going to be in right order, and I don't have to know the whole process today. I just have to stay on today. It's 6:30, and I have 5.5 hours left of today, and I just try to stay on today and live the very best I can today. Tomorrow will take care of itself. All this crazy projecting that we all do about the what ifs and where am I going to be and where's the money going to come from and how am I going to pay the bills, and you know, we're crazy. We just make ourselves crazy trying to anticipate the what ifs. And our higher power has the whole thing all planned out, and it's so much easier to trust him. You know, I carried this big black garbage bag of everybody's shit in it. And I was lugging that thing around for years. Was lugging it around. And Al-Anon taught me to let go. You know, let go, let God. That's not my business. That's not my stuff. I can let it go. And you know what? I can live freely now. I can worry about Tish. And I take care of Tish, and I try to take care of Tish mentally, physically, spiritually. And when I do that, my friends, my family, people that know me, they benefit from that because I try to be at my very best. I want to be the best for me. I want to live the best. When I wake up in the morning, I, you know, reach out to my higher power and I ask for his guidance and his direction. I want his best for me today. I don't want second best. And the more I seek him and spend time with him and pray and meditate, I can feel his direction for me. And he uses people. You know, I don't hear these voices from heaven. He uses people, places, and things. That's how God operates. He'll show us little things or little miracles that happened. I mean, it's just really amazing if we take the time to listen, to watch, to look, to listen to all that he's doing for all of us in this program. He has so much to offer us. And, you know, I get excited. When I left my house that time, how much time do I have? Am I okay? When I left my house that time, I had no idea where, what, and when, or how. And I really thought that when I left the house was going to go to the bank. Nobody else was capable of paying the bills and making the house payment. But you know what? I was willing to let that go because it was just a house. I wanted a home. You know, I was grieving because of the home, not because of the house, the building, the house. And, you know, I walked away from that house. And, you know, today I'm back in that house, and it's a beautiful house. It's not, you know, it's just a little tract home, but to me, it's Tish's house, and God made a way for me to live in that house, and every room looks like Tish. It's just, if you walk in there, you'll just know that's my house. And, you know, and I thank God that he gave me this house. I gave it to him at one point and said, take it, you can have it. I want to save my life. I need to take care of me. And I live in that house, and I always tell people, I love my house. And that may sound odd to some people, but I really do love my house. And it's because of the process that I had to go through to end up back in that house. And it was a natural process. And if somebody would have told me that a long time ago, I probably wouldn't have listened. But and another thing I want to say is I love my friends in Al-Anon. They have all enriched my life in so many ways. I have a whole different life today. I've learned so many things that I didn't know as a housewife and a mother. I can really say I love my life. I love my life, and I've got good relationships with people and with my children, and I owe it all to Al-Anon that's given me these tools to live by, and I'm just going to continue to trust. I don't have to trust anybody else. I can just continue to trust my higher power, because he brought me right here to this podium today, and I'm going to trust him for the rest of the trip. So I think with that, I will close. Is that enough? It's 6:30. Yeah. Huh? Okay, I will open it up if anybody would like to share on trust, and thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed this recording. To obtain additional copies, receive a free catalog of AA and Al-Anon talks, or to find out about our tape and CD of the month club, call Encore Audio Archives at 1-800-878-1308 or visit our website at www.12steptapes.com.